This morning's shiur is dedicated by the Sokol family, and we thank you, Susan, for dedicating the shiur in memory of your father, Mr. Harry Shraga Tzvi Ben Yitzchak Meir HaKohen, Zichrono Livracha, whose yard site is today, and we hope that your family will be able to have many, many opportunities to celebrate the life and legacy of your father. What greater legacy than what I just described, that your daughter-in-law is bringing 60 women to Eretz Yisrael for the first time. And really, it's just such an inspiration. And Mirtz Hashem, you should have much, much nachas from all of your children and grandchildren, and continue for your family to grow the Li'ayin and Hara. So let us continue. I say we should continue, but it's not really a continuation because I can't even remember the last time we learned Pirkei Avos. But what we are actually up to, I have been keeping track, is a Mishnah in the second Perek, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. And if you look here on the top of the sheet, you will see that the line that we're going to discuss today, as well as next week, is the following. Yafeh Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. The Mishnah tells us that it is beautiful, it's a good way of life to have Talmud Torah together with Derech Eretz. Now this is a very curious statement because it's not really clear exactly what Derech Eretz actually refers to. If you look through Chazal, you find that Derech Eretz means a number of different things. Now we're used to hearing Derech Eretz means you should be respectful and kind and nice and generous and understanding to other people. That's what Derech Eretz means. But Derech Eretz actually means a number of things. Sometimes the Gemara says Derech Eretz actually is a reference to getting a job. And what the Mishnah here means, that's what I want to talk about next week, is Yafeh Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. It's nice to have a job and learn Torah at the same time. The Mishnah potentially is saying it's not nice to just cut out the job part of life and only focus on Talmud Torah. So that's what I want to talk about next week, and it's a major, very rich discussion. And we have to think about the many communities across the Jewish world that maybe have chosen one over the other. Some communities have chosen Derech Eretz only and totally neglected Talmud Torah, let's be honest. Many people are so focused on their jobs and really do not make time for Talmud Torah at all. There are others who have focused all of their energy and attention on Talmud Torah only and do not focus on Derech Eretz. And what are the merits of either one? That's really what I want to discuss next week. But before that, I want to get to this. So in case anybody missed the announcement, next week we're going to have a regular shiur. The following week, which again looking at the calendar is June 28th, thank you, as well as July 5th, I'm going to be in Camp Simcha. July 12th, I'm going to be with TJJ for Moms in Eretz Yisrael for 3 days. But then, Amir Tashem, we will resume right after that. Everyone can check your emails. If you're not on our email list, feel free to give me your email address. I'll make sure that you're at it. Let's begin with the following question. I would like you to consider a very simple question, and that question is, before we get to that question, let's read, actually, the commentary of the Medrash Shmuel on Pirkei Avos, where he explains what, in his opinion, the Mishnah is referring to when it says, Yafeh Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Writes the Medrash Shmuel, Lefisha Shnei Dvarim Halalu, Talmud Torah on the one hand and Derech Eretz on the other, Kineged Dvarim Harbe, Ukemosha Matsinu Shalo Avda Haaretz, the land of Israel was not lost. Af Gamzos Biyosam Ovde Avodah Zarah. They were serving Avodah Zarah when they were living in Israel. But Ovrim Al Kol Mitzvah HaTorah. And they were violating all kinds of terrible violations. But they only lost the land of Eretz Yisrael. But Azvam Limud HaTorah. When they stopped learning Torah, that is when they deserved to be taken out of the land of Eretz Yisrael. V'chalot shahayu oskim haTorah haya Kodesh Baruch Hu over al pishehem. You're serving Avodah Zarah, you're doing something wrong, but you're learning Torah? Sounds a little ironic. What kind of Torah are you learning if it doesn't lead you to believe in God and neglect Avodah Zarah? But be that as it may, the commentary here writes that so long as they were learning Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to overlook many of the other mistakes and problems that were around in the Jewish community. And then he says, V'gam Derech Eretz v'hu kiruv das v'avas habrios. What does Derech Eretz mean? It means kiruv hadas v'avas habrios zu b'zu, engendering a sense of love and appreciation for each other. V'hashalom shebeinehem gamze omed l'magen al ha'adam al averos rabos. And the way he interprets this Mishnah is that when we have a bifurcation, when we have this collaboration of Derech Eretz together with Talmud Torah, that is what saves the Jewish people. But once there's a breakdown, once there's a lack of civility, once there's a lack of Derech Eretz for each other and respect and understanding and compassion, as well as a lack of Limud HaTorah, of emphasis on that, all breaks loose, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu even goes to the extreme that he does not allow us to remain in Eretz Yisrael. I'd like to pose the following question. This is what I wanted to ask before. Suppose you're looking for a prospective shidduch for yourself or for one of your children. But due to an imaginary devastating shidduch crisis, if you were to imagine such a thing, there are only two potential available individuals left. And you have to make a very difficult choice. One of them is a kind-hearted, compassionate, wonderful, gentle young man or woman, but happens to be an idol worshiper, happens to be an atheist. Or, option two, is somebody who's a believer in God, somebody who comes to shul every day, somebody who performs all the mitzvot HaTorah, but is a very indignant person, a very disrespectful person, somebody who has no midos. What would you choose of these very second-rate and substandard candidates for a shidduch? Who would you choose to go with? Now, I would say don't take either, but let's say I don't have a choice. I understand. Maybe it's worthwhile to just remain single. I don't know. But let's say, you know, the Gemara assumes, and I think it's human, the human condition has shown, that sometimes being lonely is more painful, and people are willing to compromise on things that were otherwise extremely important to them, even if it means that it's something they never imagined compromising on. The Gemara says, Tav lemesiv tandu milemesiv armalu, which means nothing to anybody in the room. It's an Aramaic expression, which means, I would rather have companionship than to stick to my principles sometimes. Now again, obviously everyone has to draw the line wherever it's appropriate. But this is the question. Which one would you choose? What I'd like you to think about for a moment before we get to the sources is think back to Avraham Avinu. When he was looking to marry off one of his children, who is it that he told his children to look after, to look into? Which communities does he send his children to find a potential shidduch? We'll get to that in a moment. Let's begin with a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, where the Torah says, Vayomer Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right before he creates man, he says, Nasa Adam Mitzalmenu Kidmusenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nasa Adam, let us collectively create man in the image of the angels. Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu, that man should look somewhat like the angels. And the Medrash writes a fascinating conversation. Let's look at number bays here. Rab Shmuel Bar Nachman Mishem Rab Yonasan Amar. Bishash Haya Moshe Kosev Es HaTorah. Haya Kosev Maise Kol Yom V'Yom. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai. God is teaching him the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is writing it down. And each day of creation, he's writing down everything that happened. Then he gets to this pasuk and he says, Vayomer Elokim Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu. He gets to this pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to write it, and Moshe says, hey, one second. Amar lefanav ribon ha'olam, ma atanosein pischon pelaminim. Slow down. You asked the angels to help you create man? Did they actually help you? You don't need their help. You're God. You run the world. You're HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean when the Torah says, Nase adam bitzalmenu kidmusenu? Like almost as if the Ribono Shel Olam had to ask permission from the malachim, from the angels, to join him in this endeavor of creating man. What does it mean? Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what's going to happen? People are going to read this pasuk, and they're going to start getting confused. God has partners. He's not alone in the world. There are other people who need to help him out to do the job. He has to consult with others before he does things. What kind of religion is that? Moshe Rabbeinu says, why would you write a pasuk in such a formulation where you're giving an opportunity for people to make a terrible and devastating mistake? By reading these words. Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, I appreciate your concern, but ksov, I want you to write it the way I've instructed you. V'harotze litos yite. And if someone reads this pasuk and chooses to come away with the wrong impression, then so be it. Interesting. Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Ribono Shel Olam explained, Moshe, Ha'adam hazeh shabarasi, this human being that I created, they were not all created the same. Not everybody looks the same. And not everybody has the same intellectual capacities. Lo gedolim uktanim ani mamid mimenu. We're not all the same age. We don't all have the same intellect. We don't all have the same thought process. We don't all look the same. Sheim yavo hagadol lito rishus min akatan mimenu. When you have a business and you have different people working together, Imagine if the CEO of the company will say, look, I'm the CEO of the company. I don't need to discuss anything with anybody in the company. I can do what I want. While that's true, that would be a very foolish way to live life. Because it's good to talk things over with contemporaries. It's good to talk things over with coworkers. It's good to talk it through and to maybe get different ideas and to bounce it off of another person to get a different perspective, take a different angle. Imagine if a person would say, "Ani gadol mimcha," I'm much smarter than you are. I'm much more intelligent. I have far more life experience. I don't need to consult with you because you have nothing to add to the conversation. What kind of society would we have, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I did not need to consult with the angels. I did not need their help. But I wanted to teach all of humanity that when doing anything of significance, when doing anything in life of import, it would be in their best of interest to lower themselves just a little bit and take consult with someone who might be younger than them, someone who might be less intellectual than they are, someone who just has a different perspective, who's not the CEO of the company. But if I, God, was able to lower myself and ask the malachim, even though I didn't need their perspective, then so human beings should be able to do the same. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu. And the altar from Slabodka asks a very obvious question, and that is, it's a very nice, very sweet message. It's a great takeaway, but the danger of exposing ourselves to this mistake is still there. Somebody can read this pasuk and say, well, it seems that the Ribbono Shel Olam has partners, and writes the altar from Slabodka, we see from this pasuk, that obviously, it's more important to have good midos than it is to believe in God Himself. If you walk away with the wrong message, if the message and the takeaway is that there are shutvim lamakum, that Rahman al-Itzlan, God has other partners in the world, that's a terrible thing. But you know what would be worse? To walk away and not have this message, that we need to work together in the world with other people, that we need to collaborate, that we need to take other people's opinions into account. That is even more important than believing in the uniqueness and the centrality of God running the world Himself. That's a phenomenal lesson. That is from the very first parsha in Chumash. Writes the Ran in his Rushas, an amazing answer to that question that we posed. If I were to have two candidates of who I would were to marry, what are the possibilities in front of me? One of them is an Ovid Avodah Zarah, but is a wonderful person, just happens not to believe in God. And one is a horrible person, but one who seems to be very scrupulous in all the other mitzvahs HaTorah. Which one would I choose of these, again, very substandard options that I have? Writes the Ran, let's read it together in number Gimel, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim. HaMitzvos VaHa'averos Asher BaTorah Heim Al Shtei Panim. He says that there are two categories, two different types of behaviors that we have in the Torah. Mehem Sheyasu Roshem Beguf Uvenefesh. There are things that we do that make an impression, an impact, they have an effect on my body and my soul. Kemidos Uchemaisim Mehem Sheyasu Roshem Benefesh Bolvad. And there are those things in life that only impact my soul but do not impact my body. For example, he says, Emuna, belief. What does he mean? Hine osim shiasa rosim begud panefesh, he says, we have a genetic makeup. If somebody has a tendency to have a terrible anger or a terrible temper, writes the Ran, that is something that doesn't just impact their soul, it impacts your life. It impacts your body. It will go down to your children. I think the research has showed that that is the case. The Ran is writing way before all the research, but he's saying there are certain tendencies that a person has throughout life that are not just impacting negatively their spiritual self. It's impacting your makeup, who you are, and who your children are going to be. There are other things, he says, like a person who lacks emunah, who lacks belief, person who may not daven. Somebody like that, writes the Ran, yes, there is a deficiency in your life, there's something lacking, but it's limited. The lacking is only a spiritual lacking. It will not impact your body. It will only impact your soul. Writes the Ran, how surprising it is. Look three lines before the end. Vilazeh, Lavan u'Besuel, im hayosem ovdei avodas kochavim. Lavan and Besuel were idol worshippers. Lo haya mechuyev sheyaver rishumam lebeneihem. That's not a genetic problem that is going to be transmitted down to their children. And therefore, Avraham Avinu said that his children should go look in that community and try to find an appropriate match. The Hirchik Benos HaKananim, the people from the community of Canaan, did not worship idols, but they had horrible midos. And Avraham Avinu said, if you have to make a choice like that, the one I would choose, says the Ran, is the one who does not believe in God, but who has impeccable midos. It's a powerful statement. It's not to say that having emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not important. It's not to say that it's not significant. Of course it is. But if you have both of these issues that you're confronted with, and you ask yourself which one is of greater import than the other, the Rishonim write that what's more important in life is to have midos tovos, more important than being a person who is a mamin b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what the Mishnah means here. Yafe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is such an integral part of what it means to be a Torah Jew. There is no possibility of greatness in Torah without a tremendous emphasis on Derech Eretz, which is why a famous story of the Kutzker, one of the great Hasidic Rebbes, when he said, somebody came to him and said, he's making a big celebration that he finished all of Shas. And the Kutzker responded, and he said, it's very nice that you've learned all of Shas, but what has Shas actually taught you? And it's a penetrating response. What has Shas actually taught you? You come to shul, you're involved, you go to a shir. What has the shir taught me? It's very nice to learn our Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah, but what has it done to impact our lives, to change us, to make us different, to make us feel differently, to make us react and respond differently? The Panovizhe Rav, who built the legendary yeshiva in Bnei Brak after the war, actually felt that it was a priority for himself to build, primarily, before he built the yeshiva in Bnei Brak. He first came to Bnei Brak and built an assisted living, a home that was going to help those who needed help. And he said, in the list of priorities, having that comes before building a yeshiva. If you know anything about the Panovizhe Rav, this is so classic of his character, of who he was. But it's a story that tells us about his greatness. The Vilna Gaon was legendary for his brilliance in Torah, for everything that he accomplished. There were some who used to talk about the Vilna Gaon as if he was on par with the Rishonim, like the Rashba and the Ritva. But the Vilna Gaon, when he was a young child, the story has it, that he was a very intense young man, as you could imagine. And he was 4 years old. And his father said, you know, I think you should take a break. You're getting a little too intense. You should go outside and play with the children. And he sees a bunch of little kids playing outside. The Vilna Gaon really had no interest, but his father told him to go. So he listened to his father. He went outside. 5 minutes later, he came back. And his father asked him, I didn't mean that you should go outside for 5 minutes and look around. I meant you should stay outside and play with the kids. So the Vilna Gaon began to cry, and he said to his father, I would love to play with the kids. The problem is I see what they're playing. And the father asked him, what are they playing? He said, well, there's this slab of wood on a rock, and one child sits on one side and the other on the other side, and it's a seesaw. And he's describing it to his father, and he said, how can I play a game that in order for me to be on top, I have to push my friend down? What kind of game is that? It's somebody who has this kind of sensitivity who can grow to become the Vilna Gaon. Those two aspects are not divorced from one another. They are the complete whole, the composite whole of who a great towering personality in learning, in Torah, in leadership is going to actually be, because it requires both. And the Chafetz Chaim says, we have a famous statement, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, writes the Chafetz Chaim, where does that come from? That comes from this pasuk by HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating man, that you see the Ribono Shel Olam prioritize for us that Derech Eretz is more important than Torah itself. And that is why he felt that even if someone is going to make a mistake and potentially become an apikores as a result of what they're reading here in the Chumash, writes the Chafetz Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that was worthwhile, that was a trade-off. I once read in the name of the Chedushei Harim, one of the Gerar Rebbes, a very interesting comment where he says, the Shabbos before Pesach is referred to as Shabbos HaGadol. The Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah is referred to as Shabbos Shuvah. So he said, what's the Shabbos before Shavuos supposed to be called? He said, it's Shabbos Derech Eretz. Shabbos Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. The first thing we need to do before celebrating Chag HaShavuos, I know we're after, I got it. But the first thing we need to do is think about where is our Derech Eretz up to, and only then can we come to the celebration of Torah in its complete sense, in its real sense, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of all of us. The Psukim tell us in, turn to the second side of the page, in Parshas Bereishis we read the devastating story of Cain and Hevel. So read the Psukim together. Vayihi Hevel Roet Son V'Kayin Haya Oved Adama. Two wonderful brothers who were in different professions. The only two professions that were around in the time. One was a shepherd. Hevel was a shepherd. And Kayin was Oved Adama. Kayin was a farmer. Vayihi Miketz Yamim. And it was after some days. Vayavo Kayin Mipriha Adama Mincha LaHashem. And Kayin has this great idea. Nobody ever did this before. Kayin has an idea. He's going to offer a karban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a very novel concept. Something that nobody ever thought of before him. Why would they think to do such a thing? But Cain came up with the idea. And he brings me priha adama, he brings some vegetables as a karban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Hevel is watching his brother. And Hevel says, hey, that's a really nice idea. My brother decided to bring an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brought from what he has, which was his farmland, he brought some vegetables. But I'm going to bring from what I have. I'm a shepherd. Vehevel hevi gamhu. Hevel copies his brother. The Mefarshim write, this was not his idea. My father points out every year when he gives the shiur on Parshas Bereishis, he points out that the Torah here says, Vehevel hevi gamhu. Hevel copied his brother. But guess what? You don't always have to be the innovator to do something well. You don't always have to recreate. Yes, he copied his brother, but his was the one that was appreciated. He did it right. To do something meaningful in the world, to make a contribution, doesn't mean you need to reinvent the world. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. You can take a good idea, improve it, do it your way. You don't have to innovate all the time. And that is what Hevel did. Hevel hevi gamhu. He did copy his brother. It wasn't his idea. His brother gets the credit, and he brings me b'choros tono u'mechel behem. He brings from the finest animals that he had. Vayisha Hashem el Hevel ve'el Monchaso. And now the devastating outcome. Cain has this great idea. Cain is the one who comes up with the concept of offering a karban. His brother copies him, outdoes him, and God accepts Hevel's offering. Ve'el Cain ve'el Monchaso lo sha'a. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ignores the karban that was offered by Cain. Vayichar l'Kain ma'od vayiplu panav. Cain is furious. Cain is enraged. Vayomer Hashem al Cain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Lama charalach v'lama naflu panecha. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik asks a very good question, and that is, what is the Ribbono Shel Olam asking him? Lama charalach, why are you angry? God, you know why I'm angry. Look what I did. I was willing to sacrifice. I was willing to bring a karban. I was willing to give of myself for you to connect with you, and you ignored me? What do you mean, why am I angry? You know exactly why I'm angry. What are you asking? Lama charalach. V'lama naflu panecha. Why are you so depressed? Imagine, you have a shidduch that breaks off, and the chassan or the kala say to the other, it was totally unexpected, one says to the other, why are you so sad? I don't understand. What's the big deal? So I rejected you. Is it such a big deal? So we won't get married. Well, what are you upset about? Lama charalach, lama naflu panecha. Why do you look so depressed? What's the big? We'll be okay. Again, maybe that's a conversation for a long time from now. But right now, when the moment is so raw, when you're trying to deal with the rejection, that's not the appropriate question to ask. It seems to be the worst question to possibly ask. So what kind of question is this? What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from Cain? Reb Chaim Soloveitchik writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking Cain an unbelievable question that we all need to ask ourselves when we get angry. Are you upset because you were not given the opportunity to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or are you upset because your brother has more than you? What is the root of your anger? It's okay to be upset that you were rejected. That's human nature. We all have feelings. It's okay to feel sad. that you were not accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But is that really what's making you frustrated? Or are you only upset because your brother has more than you? You give a young child a lollipop? I think in young children's terms, that's where I'm up to in life. So you give a young child a lollipop. The child is so happy. But then you give a sibling a lollipop and a toy. And suddenly, the lollipop is not good anymore. What happened? The answer is, the lollipop was fine so long as everyone has the same. But once one person has more than I do, then all of a sudden everything's terrible. And that, asked Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, was the question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked of Chaim at this very pivotal moment. And it's a question every human being needs to ask when they get upset or frustrated. Why are you upset? Are you upset for good reason? Or are you only upset because you're looking around and conjuring up in your mind how wonderful life is for everybody else and wishing you had their set of circumstances and wishing that you were as much as they? And that is what's making you upset, that they have more than you have. It's a fascinating insight. My father says over in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, he said, I think it's Rav Soloveitchik quoting others. I just didn't remember where it was. But I remember my father saying this many, many times, that you find a strange phenomenon. A rabbi is called with a shaila, hilchas kashrus. Someone mistakenly did something in the kitchen. It's never a woman who makes the mistake. It's always the husband thinks he's doing a favor. And he ruins everything. And he traipses up the kitchen and traipses up the pot. Just keep them out of the kitchen. They don't know what they're doing. Or a kid comes home. He's all excited. He's off from school. He decides, you know, we're not going to make anyone take care of us. We're going to make our own food. We're going to take care of ourselves. And the next thing you know, the rabbi is called. And my pot that I use every single day is now treif. Now, we live in a disposable society. So your pot is treif, so you get rid of it. You get another one. You kosher it, whatever it is. But back in the days, there was a time when losing a pot was extremely significant. When you lost a pot and you couldn't afford to buy another one. And yet, people accept the psak. The rabbi says he can't use the pot. Okay, so we won't use the pot. You start questioning and you start asking, you start arguing. That's not the way it is. You don't argue. I mean, maybe you do. You question to understand where the psak comes from. Why is that the case? Last week I asked you a question, it wasn't the answer. Good, you should understand it. Of course you should question. But you don't challenge the psak. The pot is treif, sakasha the pot, get a new one, whatever it is, we understand that. Even if it's a loss, even if I'm making a shever brachas in my house, and all the food that I just made has to be disposed of, and it's a terrible thing, and what am I going to do, and I'm so nervous, and I have all these people coming tonight, we deal with it, we do it, it's okay. How often have I been asked at Shailan Hilchas Nida, a couple is about to go on a wonderful vacation, and something doesn't turn out, and it's a terrible thing, you have to give up psak sometimes, and it's very uncomfortable, what am I supposed to say? Tame is tame, mutter is mutter, aser is aser, what should I do? People don't fight, they don't argue. They have a right to understand, and of course, a rabbi should explain why the psak is actually true and why it's binding. But the psak is the psak. How strange a phenomenon, writes Rav Soloveitchik, when you have a din Torah over nothing, over much less than a pot. The money that we're arguing about can be almost nothing, negligible. And whoever loses the din Torah walks out and says, it was biased, I don't know, they were talking off on the side, there's no way that this was really done with an objective mind, I can't believe I lost, it's not because I was wrong, it's because they were really taking the side of my friend, or of my enemy, whoever it is. And there was nothing just about this. I would never suggest that anyone go to a din Torah again because all the rabbis are a bunch of cheaters and liars and it's all politics and this doesn't make sense. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Right? Why is that? What's the difference? Said Rav Soloveitchik, the difference is so easy. When you ask a shaila about your own pot, about your own Taras HaMishpacha, the answer is a very personal one. I can accept that. You know what I can't accept? When you made a psak that's not just relevant to me, but you said that my friend is going to have more than me. When you made a psak and said that I have to pay someone else because of the dispute that we had, and I'm losing, but he's gaining, that's what kills me. Said Rav Soloveitchik, that is exactly what is being discussed here with Cain and Hevel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks him, Lama charalach, look deep inside of yourself and ask, why is it that you are frustrated? Why are you upset? Are you upset because you genuinely feel that there was an injustice done? Or are you upset because you see that someone else has just a little bit more than you have, and that is something we can't handle? That's what Derech Eretz is. Being able to celebrate, being able to appreciate the gifts that other people have in their lives as well, even if unfortunately we may not have it personally ourselves. There's a minhag, in many siddurim you'll find, there's a minhag that people say before they daven, before Baruch Sha'amar, Hareini mekabel alai mitzvah saseh shel ve'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha. Sometimes before people begin to daven, you look here in Amr Zayin, they say, I take upon myself the mitzvah ve'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha. What a strange thing to put into davening right before we say Psukei Dezimra, right before we begin. Why don't you start off the davening, say, Hareini mekabel alai, I take upon myself that I'm going to put a mezuzah on the door. I mean, what's the difference? Why don't I make all kinds of declarations in the beginning of davening that I believe in all the mitzvahs HaTorah? What's unique, what's special about Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? So the old Lubavitcher Rebbe explains, the old, I mean not this one, one of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbes explains, that the reason why is because there's no greater joy that a parent has in life than seeing that their children are integrated well, that they have good friends, that people appreciate their children's contributions to the world. There's no greater nachas a parent can have than when they see that what they've brought into the world, what they have produced, what they have invested, is something that is appreciated by others, that is beloved by others. And that is what gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu the greatest appreciation as well. We come to Daven and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us all kinds of things. We ask, we beg for our lives, we beg for a refuah, we want a parnasa, people want a shidduch, people want all kinds of things. What's the greatest way to gain HaKadosh Baruch Hu's appreciation of us? It's to turn to him and say, we appreciate that which you have created. We appreciate your children. Hareini mekabel alai mitzvah saseh shel ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Can there be a greater entree to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than that? Is there a greater way to find favor in the Ribono Shel Olam's eyes than to tell him that we love his children? The teacher who you love most in your children's school, I've spoken about this so many times, is the one who's willing to say something nice about your child, even if it's not true. We love those people because they make us feel good. They make us feel proud of what we have been involved in producing, of what we have created, of the values we've given over. It's something that makes us happy. And it's something that Kaviyachal makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy as well. And writes to the Lubavitcher Rebbe that this is why, before davening, there are many who have that custom that they begin with a phrase, with a statement that is, Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha is important to me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love your children. I love all that you've created. Derech Eretz is important to me. I treat people with respect. I go about life understanding that everyone is created B'Tselem Elokim, great or small, intelligent or not as intelligent, old or young. I appreciate the contributions that people make to this world and I celebrate them. That is the greatest entree that we have to Tefillah. And that, he writes, is why we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu this specifically before we begin to daven. Look at Amar Ches here where the Maharal writes so beautifully. Kvar biyarnu b'perek Moshe Kibel ki davar zeh she'oev habrios hu avas Hashem yizbarach gamkin. If I love other people, if I treat them with dignity and respect, it's as if I love the Ribono Shel Olam himself. Ki mi she'oev es echad ohev kol ma'ase yadav asher asa upal. I think about this all the time. I am not artistic at all. It's not my thing. I don't know anything about art. I got married. I never imagined I love to sing. No, I do love to sing. I never imagined I would ever marry a girl who doesn't. To me, that was so important. It's so much an essence of who I am. Well, my wife is tone deaf. And guess what? It doesn't matter. At the same time, she's a graphic designer. She's extremely artistic. I have 6 left hands. I don't know how to do anything. Not only in art, I don't know how to bang a nail into the wall with a hammer. I don't know how to do anything. So, this is fine. I'm okay. I accept it. Don't worry. Don't feel bad for me. It's okay. I'm totally fine with it. I've accepted it a long time ago. So, I've come to love my wife. And as a result, I appreciate her work. How strange is that? What do I care what she's working on? She shows me all the time. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I've actually developed an eye for the things that she does. And I can criticize. in a positive way or give feedback, constructive criticism about the work that she does, even though it's not of interest to me. It didn't used to be of interest to me, but once you appreciate someone enough, you appreciate not just that person. If you are infatuated with them, if you are enamored by that individual, if you respect them enough and you're fascinated by everything about them, then you appreciate all that they do as well. And that's something that we gain an appreciation for as we come to know someone better, as we love them more and more. And that, writes the Maharal, is what it means to have Ahavas Hashem. When we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we believe Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, what does that mean? It means I should just sit there on a mountain and meditate all day about how much I love the Ribono Shel Olam? It's a nice idea, but it's so much more expansive than that. What it means is to love not only the Ribono Shel Olam, but all that encompasses the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that means all that He creates. If you love a person, then you love everything about that person. You love what they do, you love what they create, you love the business that they're in, you love everything that they're involved with, everything they touch, you appreciate. And that, writes the Maharal, is why it's so important to have this Midah of Derech Eretz, why it's so critical. Because it's the prelude to a life of Torah. How could it be that you have Torah without Derech Eretz? If you don't appreciate who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and all that He's brought into the world, how can you appreciate His Torah? It's such a contradiction. I have very few things on my desk. I have lots of papers, but very few things that I really like to look at all the time. I have something on my desk from the day I went into the rabbinate because I feel it reminds me every single day of why it is that we do what we do. And it's a comment of the Mesilas Yesharim, where he writes, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohev, I could take it off my desk because I know it by heart, but Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohev, Ela Lamisha Ohev Es Yisrael. Who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu love? Only the one who is able to love other people. If you can't love other people, how can the Ribono Shel Olam love you? Somebody who hates my child, I'm obviously going to bear a hatred and a grudge toward that person also. And the Mesilas Yesharim continues, V'chol mi shemagdil ahavaso leYisrael, gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu magdil alav. And the more that we can expand ourselves and find a place in our hearts to be appreciative of other people, to be understanding of who they are, to be respectful of them, gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu magdil alav, so too commensurate to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expands His love for us as individuals as well. It's human nature. We see it in our own lives. The more that people appreciate us, the more we appreciate them. The more they appreciate our children, the more we appreciate them. We see it. We know it's true. Writes the Mesilas Yesharim, that is life. That is what a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohev, Ela Lamisha Ohev Es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the one who is willing to show affection and appreciation for His children, for His people, for who they are. I mention this often. Whenever people send me an email, they're excited. I spoke somewhere, they were inspired. I appreciate that very much, that people take the time to send an email. And you should just know, if you're inspired by anyone, sometimes when you give a shiur and you post it online, you have no idea, is anyone out there in the world actually listening? It's really nice to get an email every once in a while and to know that you're not just talking to the walls. It's nice. It actually is meaningful and it gives a tremendous amount of chizuk. So to anybody who you listen to out there on the internet, send them an email every once in a while and let them know that you appreciate the work that they're doing, because they have no idea until they hear from you. But people write to me and I appreciate it very much and I always respond as best as I can. But sometimes I'll tell people, if it's appropriate to respond as such, that there's no greater gift you can give than to send an email to my parents. I'm a sense of embarrassment to my parents sometimes, but maybe it's nice as a parent. Yes, my parents are maybe worrying about bigger things in the world and they're involved in very big communal issues, and it's a different kind of childhood, a different kind of relationship when you have a father who's a Gadol Ador and a Gadol B'Yisrael. Yes, it is different, it's true, and you don't like to waste his time, and I don't just call my father at night just to schmooze. It's not the way it goes. I call him if there's something important to talk about, because otherwise I know he has other important things to talk about. Yes, it's a different relationship, but there's nothing that makes a parent happier. No matter who the parent is, how much they're busy with, there is nothing that makes a parent happier than to have nachas from their children. to hear something nice, to hear that somebody appreciates who their children are. And there's nothing that gives more nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than that either. And that is what they are trying to teach us here. We know that we just celebrated Zman Matan Torasenu. Chag HaShavuos is a very uplifting and beautiful time. And for anyone who was here celebrating together with us, I felt this was just such an opportunity, this Yom Tov, where we had so many hundreds and hundreds of people at every opportunity that was given to come and to be mekabel the Torah together and to appreciate what the Torah means to us as a community and to us as individuals. But it's important that we remember that the Luchos had two parts. And we can never forget that. The Pasuk tells us in Number Yud Beis, Va'anshei Sodom ra'im v'chatayim l'Hashem miyod. The community in Sodom were ra'im v'chatayim. They were the worst of the worst. But it says that they were the worst of the worst to God Himself. You read Rashi on Chumash, really, from the Psukim in Sefer Yecheskel, and you know that what went wrong in Sodom was really a bein adam l'chaveru issue. They had no respect for each other. They were not welcoming. They were not considerate. They were not understanding and sensitive to people's needs. So the way that this is formulated in the Pasuk seems to be off. It says, they were ra'im v'chatayim l'Hashem miyod. It should say they were awful to each other. It should say it was such an awful society, they couldn't get along with each other. They couldn't figure out how to respect one another. But that's not what it says. And the Mefarshim explained the reason why is because if you can't be nice to another person, if you can't be respectful to them, that is an affront to the Ribono Shel Olam himself. The way to say it is, they are ra'im v'chatayim l'Hashem miyod. Yes, it's an affront to God himself when you cannot appreciate human beings, when you can't be respectful of them. When we've lost so much civility in this country, when we see from top down that there is no respect for other people, it's an opportunity for us as a community to pledge that we understand the value of respecting others. And whatever else is going on in the world, I'll actually say something about the Parsha once we're at it. In this week's Parsha, we have what we refer to as the Nunim Hafuchim, a very unusual kind of phenomenon that we have in the Torah. We have two Psukim, Uvenucha Yomar, by Hiben Saha Aaron, right? It talks about how they carry the Aaron, and it's like, it has bookends. It has a nun, an upside down nun before it, upside down nun after it. You look in every chumash, you'll find that. Something that we don't find anywhere else in the Torah. So it's very strange. What's that doing there? Dr. Lamb has an absolutely amazing drasha where he quotes a Medrash Yalkut Reuveni, that the Medrash writes that nunim hafuchim, actually in Aramaic, a nun, nun vav nun, is actually the way you talk about fish. That's the way you refer to fish. And he says that this is highlighting the upside-down fish. What's the upside-down fish? Who ever heard of an upside-down fish? He said, no. The fish that swims upstream, that's what the Jewish people are. The fish that swims against the tide, that's what the Jewish people always are. And when we talk about Vayivin Saha Aaron, when we talk about upholding the values of Torah, upholding the values of a Jewish community, we remind ourselves of the Nunim Hafuchim, of the fish that have the stamina and the capability to swim upstream, to go against the tide, to do what is right in a culture, in a community, in a society that they know is so corrupt and so immoral and has no respect. That's what Jews do. That's what we are. This is who we stand for. It's who we represent. And it's what we need to remind ourselves of all the time. In fact, the Maharal Diskin asks, how strange is it? Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lech reid ki shiches amcha. The Jewish community have fallen out of control. Look what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu left for just a few days. He's, in their minds, he's gone. He's never coming back. And now everybody served. Avodah Zarah, Sulaham, Egal Masecha. Look how quickly they deteriorated. What's going on? Moshe Rabbeinu go down immediately. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down. And we all know the end of the story. Moshe Rabbeinu sees what's going on. And he sees they're dancing around the Egal. And everyone is just totally carried away with this. Vayashlech miyado, he throws the luchos out of his hands and he destroys them. Ask the Maharal Diskin, what was the mistake of the Jewish people at the time? What did they do wrong? We know what the mistake was. They served Avodah Zarah. They made an egel masecha. They made an egel azov. How terrible. Moshe Rabbeinu, I get it. So you should break the side of the luchos that says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. When it says, Lo Sirtzach, Lo Sinaf, that's not relevant. When it says, Lo Sigzo, what does that have to do with this? Break one side of the luchos that talks about Avas Hashem, that talks about belief in God. Obviously, they're not up to believing right now, but keep the other side. Come down and teach them about all the other ethics and morality they need to know about. But Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, says the Maharal Diskin, that without this, you don't have that either. without understanding Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you will not appreciate Lo Sigzo. Why shouldn't I steal from other people? Because we believe that everything is from the Ribono Shel Olam. And why steal money if you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just going to have to take it back a different way? My father has told me the story so many times. He was involved in a Din Torah, and he said it was not a personal issue. He was involved, I think, in a rabbinic capacity. And he said that it was so clear that one side had completely swindled the other, stolen an exorbitant amount of money. And the psak came out that he was obligated to pay it back. He didn't listen to the psak. It was a big mess. Whatever it may have been, it's not important, the exact details. But my father said that he told the family at the time, I want you to know, you can steal it this way, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to figure out a way to take it back. Just understand the risk you're taking upon yourselves by stealing all this money. You want to listen to the psak? Listen to the psak. You don't want to listen? Don't listen. Just understand you're stealing the money, and God is going to have to take it back. A couple of years later, his wife became gravely ill, and he had to spend all that money and more on her medical care. My father to this day believes, and he's not this kind of mystic, he doesn't believe in this kind of mysticism and all these ideas, but he firmly believes this is not mysticism. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. We believe that the Ribono Shel Olam has a din b'cheshbon. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands what we're supposed to have, what we're not supposed to have. And if we try to circumvent the way that the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to have something or not, he'll have to figure out another way to make sure it happens. You think you're cutting corners, you're cheating the government, you think you're going to get away with it. It's not you're going to be punished. It's the Ribono Shel Olam now has to, like the way my father says, he has to stand on his head now to figure out a more difficult way to get it out of you. It's not the way it works. And the Maharal Diskin writes, this is why if you don't have Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you don't have Lo Sigzol either. If you don't believe in Selam Elokim, then you don't understand, why shouldn't I abuse people? Lo Sinaf. What's the problem? I can do what I want. Life is about me. If you believe in Selam Elokim, you believe that we're all the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you have a way in which you need to treat other people. And of course, Lo Sachmod, why would I covet what somebody else has? Why would I be interested in what they have? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me everything I need. And if I believe with Emuna that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, then everything else fits into place. But you need both of these. And writes the Maharal Diskin, that is why Moshe Rabbeinu felt it was appropriate that both luchos needed to be broken, which is why in Parshas Vayakov, when the Torah describes the Kruvim, which were the childlike figures on top of the Aron HaKodesh, so we're told there are two things. They're Porsei Knafayim Lemala, Upneim Ish El Achiv. And Rav Asher Weiss many times has told me that this is really the complementary life of every Jew. The way he says it very poetically is that Judaism demands a combination of two things. Number one, passion in your service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and compassion in the service of fellow man. A very beautiful and poetic way to say it, but that's really what the Torah says. There are two prerequisites to having the Kruvim on top of the Aron HaKodesh. What do we think about when we look at the Torah in front of us in the Aron? We think about those children who are on top, who are Parsei Knafayim Lemala, whose hands are always aspiring toward greatness, toward touching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, toward more, toward growth, toward being in an upward spiral. But at the same time, Pneim Ishel Achiv, the Kruvim need to be looking at each other. They need to show respect for one another. Without that, without the Pneim Ishel Achiv, of what value is it that their hands are aspiring toward growth? It has no value. Because both of those are the way that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just last week, I had the opportunity to meet with Rabbi Franz. I was with a group of my chaverim, a bunch of rabbanim. We went to meet other Rashi Yeshiva and different personalities. It was an amazing day. And we were talking to Rabbi Franz, and I was reminded as we were talking to him that he writes a story in one of his books. I just couldn't remember where it was. He writes a story in one of his books about Rav Muttal Katz, who was the Rashi Yeshiva of the Telzer Yeshiva in Cleveland. He was once getting on a plane, and an unaffiliated Jew turned to him on the plane and he says, you look like a rabbi, can I ask you a question? He says, sure, of course. And he says, I just don't understand. I read the newspapers. I'm following what's going on. What's with all these religious Jews that cheat on their income taxes? I just don't get it. How are they religious Jews? He was faced with a very uncomfortable question. He didn't really know what to do. And Reb Matal Katz turns back to this man and he says, I have a question for you. I'm curious. You're a Jew, right? He says, yes. He says, do you observe Yom Kippur? He says, of course I do. I'm a traditional Jew. Of course I observe Yom Kippur. He says, you know, I've been wondering for so many years, what's with all those religious Jews who eat on Yom Kippur? Like, how do you explain it? It's Yom Kippur. How do the religious Jews eat on Yom Kippur? The man turns back to me and says, no, those guys aren't religious. He says, well, neither are these. Cheating on your income taxes is the same as eating on Yom Kippur. It's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who asked us to do both. If you can't have Derech Eretz, if you can't be respectful of other people, then nothing else matters either. Because it's all the same, it's all together. Which is why the story about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, they say that he was very, very careful how he baked his matzahs every year. Actually, this year I went to a matzah factory for the first time in many, many years, and I was reminded of how careful people are when they bake the matzah. And there was a Talmud who was moving away from his Rebbe's yeshiva, and he was becoming a rabbi in another town, and he said before he left, he asked his Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, what should I do when I'm baking the matzah on my own? I'm not going to be here next year to do it with you. What are all the hidurim I should be careful about? When I have my own opportunity to bake my own matzahs without you, what do you say I should look after? What should I look into? What should I be mindful of? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, be mindful of the isha aniya, of the poor woman, the almana, who is hired to go sit there and work and knead the dough for us in the matzah factory because she doesn't have any money and this is what she needs to do. Be mindful of the fact that on your way out you say thank you and that you sweep the floor and don't make her bend down. That's the hiddur in making matzah. But that's why you have great people. That's what it is. People who understand that this is Yafe Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz. The two of them can never be separated. And that's really what this Mishnah comes to teach us. And Mirz Hashem, next week we will continue on not this theme, but on another important aspect of what this theme actually means. As we started with this year, we'll go into a different interpretation next week, which I think is a very rich and important discussion. I look forward to seeing everyone again next week.